Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful tonight that we have you as our God. Father, we thank you for the spiritual blessing of prayer, and we ask you tonight to hear our prayers. We know through your word, you teach us that your eyes are over the righteous and your ears are open to our prayers. And Father, we have obeyed that gospel, that doctrine that you're teaching us. You've taught us to obey your son's doctrine in the New Testament. So tonight we pray a special prayer for our listening audience, especially those who are not members of Church of Christ, that they will receive your word with meekness, understanding that it's able to save their precious souls. And we pray for our brothers and sisters across the nation who continue to support us. And if any of them have left the truth, we pray that they too can be restored and revived and brought back to the fold. Lord, be with our speaker tonight. Be with him. We love you. Thank you so very much for your son, Jesus, who died on Calvary and died to save our souls, shedded that blood and purchased his bride and washed our sins away. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm excited tonight to announce a good friend of mine. We've grown to know each other since we've been doing this gospel meeting call, and a person, Brother Mike Hixon. Brother Mike Hixon is the host of GBN Live and also Counterpoint, and a very, very great speaker. He's the minister of the Olive Branch Church of Christ, in Olive Branch, Mississippi. And Brother Mike has a near and dear heart to saving souls such as myself, and I'm so thankful to know him. Tonight I've asked Brother Mike if he would talk about the old path. What does the Bible say, Brother Mike, about the old path? Tell us about that.
Brother Tommy, thank you so much for the opportunity to be a part of this gospel meeting. I have grown to love and appreciate Brother Tommy. I'm so thankful for the great efforts that he has put forth this summer to reach out to a lost and dying world. And we are grateful that you're a part of this lesson tonight, and we hope and pray that what is said will bless your life and will hopefully and prayerfully bring you closer to God. We are tonight looking at Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. The prophet in the long ago said, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls." As we look at Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, we need to understand that Jeremiah the prophet began prophesying on the eve of Babylonian captivity. God's people were about to be swept away in the 70 years of exile. And so the prophet began pleading with the people to return to the old paths. There's some things that maybe we ought to think about in connection with Jeremiah. I want to begin by talking about Israel's relationship to God. The nation of Israel, as you well know, belong to the Lord. As a matter of fact, following their deliverance from Egyptian bondage, God said to Moses in the long ago, "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians," and this is Exodus chapter 19, beginning in verse 4, "and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation." So here God enters into a covenant relationship with the children of Israel, and they would be the ones through whom the promised seed of Genesis 3, verse 15, would come forth. And so the nation of Israel, they belong to the Lord. Not only did they belong to the Lord, but the Bible tells us they were immensely blessed by the Lord. God here said to Moses how he had been responsible for delivering them from Egyptian bondage and bearing them over on eagle's wings, bringing them, as he said, unto himself. In the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 2, Jeremiah recounts the blessings of Almighty God, the blessings that God had bestowed upon the nation of Israel. Back in chapter 2 at verse 5, Jeremiah, on behalf of God, asked this question, "What injustice have your fathers found in me, that they've gone far from me, have followed idols, and have become idolaters? Neither did they say, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt? I brought you into a bountiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. But then God said, when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priest did not say, where is the Lord? and those who handled the law did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me, the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that did not profit. So when you look at the nation of Israel, time and again, they would abort their relationship to God. They would prove themselves to be unfaithful. The northern kingdom had been swept away into Assyrian captivity in about 722, 721 BC, a little over 100 years later. God now pronounces judgment upon the southern kingdom, despite the fact that they belonged to God and that they had been so immensely blessed by God. They would ultimately spend 70 years in exile. Now, as I think about the nation of Israel, and as I look to the Church of Christ today, to understand that the Church of Christ is the Israel of God, according to Paul in Galatians 6, verse 16. And as we talk about the Church of Christ, we need to understand the church was built by the Lord. As a matter of fact, the prophets of old, they foretold. Jeremiah talked about the days in which God would establish a new covenant. Well, that new covenant encompassed the building of the church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, based upon the good confession made by the Apostle Peter, that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Lord then said, "And I also say unto you that you're Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." The Lord here promising to build one church, and he said that church that he would build would belong to him. So we think about the church that was built by the Lord. It was bought by the Lord. It cost him his precious life, his precious blood. And so as we talk about the Church of Christ, to understand it was built by the Lord, it was bought by the Lord, and ultimately it belongs to the Lord. Just as the nation of Israel belonged to the Lord and the nation was blessed by the Lord, the Church of Christ today, it was built by the Lord, it was bought by the Lord, and it belongs to the Lord. And those of us who have obeyed the gospel of Christ, we are blessed to be a part of that divine body. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul said, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God?" He said, "You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and spirit, which are God's." In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, the writer said to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. In Exodus chapter 13, God told Moses to set apart the firstborn. He said, "You sanctify unto me the firstborn, whatever opens the womb, whether male or animal," he said, "it's mine." Under the new covenant, those of us who are in Christ, we belong to the church of the firstborn. And the idea is we belong to the Lord. Our names are registered in heaven, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. So how then do we enter the church of Christ? Well, Jesus said the new birth is what puts us in the kingdom or the church of Christ. In John chapter 3, we have a record of Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night. Nicodemus was a ruler among the Jewish people. And Jesus said to him, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus thought he was talking about a physical birth. And so he asked the question, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." The Lord Jesus went on to say, "Marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again." The new birth provides us with a new beginning. I think about the church at Corinth. The Corinthians, many of those people had come out of immorality and idolatry. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul would say, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So the new birth provides us with a new beginning, and then we enjoy new blessings. I mentioned a moment ago the nation of Israel. They belong to the Lord. They were blessed by the Lord. Those of us who are in the body of Christ, when we are a part of the blood-bought body of Christ that was built by Jesus, we belong to the Lord, and we enjoy so many blessings. You ask the question, well, what are those blessings? Number one, pardon. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:7, it's in Christ that we enjoy redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The means by which our sins are forgiven, we have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, John 8, verse 24. We must be willing to repent of sins, as Peter announced on Pentecost Day, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We confess with our mouth what we believe in our heart, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as the eunuch did in Acts 8, verse 37. And then we are immersed in water, we are baptized into Christ, so that our sins might be washed away, Acts 22, verse 16. We enjoy pardon. Not only are we pardoned by God, but we enjoy the peace of God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul said, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Those of us who belong to the body of Christ, we have so many blessings. We have pardon from God, we have peace with God, and we enjoy the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, that's what Paul said. He talked about those who experience anxiety and worry in life. He said, in nothing be anxious, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me give you another blessing we enjoy. That is the privilege of prayer. To know that we have the opportunity to call upon God 24/7. Our brother just a moment ago mentioned 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. To know that we have the ear of Almighty God. The Hebrew writer invokes us to pray. He said, let us therefore draw boldly under the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. To know that we have the privilege, as Peter said, to cast all our cares on him. The reason being, he cares for us. 1 Peter chapter 5 at verse 7. So we have pardon, we have peace, we have the privilege of prayer, and then we have the presence of God in our lives. The Hebrew writer said in chapter 13, verse 5, on behalf of God, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What a blessing to know that as a child of God, wherever we go in life, I think about Joshua. Joshua had the opportunity to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. He was Moses' successor. And you remember in Joshua chapter 1, God said to Joshua in the long ago, Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua then summoned to take that mantle of leadership and carry forth the children of Israel into that land flowing with milk and honey. And you remember in Joshua chapter 1, God said to Joshua in the long ago, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And then there's another blessing we enjoy, and that is the promise of heaven. Didn't Jesus say in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You remember the apostle said in his book in 1 Peter chapter 1 that we have a living hope. Our living hope is based upon the resurrected Christ. He said we have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled. He said it fades not away. It is reserved in heaven for us. So as a child of God, as a member of the body of Christ, to know that there's a day coming when we will experience being in the very presence of Almighty God. Not only will we be in the presence of God, we will be in the presence of the people of God forevermore. What a great blessing. Now, as we think about Israel's relationship to God and how that parallels to our relationship that we enjoy with Almighty God today, there's a second thing I want you to see in our study, and that is Israel's rebellion against God. Jeremiah pleaded with the people of God to turn back to the old paths, because in so doing, God would bless them. As Jeremiah said, you will find rest unto your souls. Now, there were a couple of problems. Prophet said, number one, they had forsaken the Lord. In chapter 2, in verse 13, here's what Jeremiah said. For my people have committed two evils. Forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. In chapter 2, verse 19, he went on to say, you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. I think about our world today. I think about our nation today. How at one time, as a nation of people, we were, in many respects, we were Bible-believing, God-fearing people. Now, many people in our nation may not have understood the principles of New Testament Christianity as we do today, but nonetheless, they believed that God was the creator of the universe. They believed that this country would be blessed if we revered the God of heaven. They believed in the authority of Scripture. They believed in the inspiration of Scripture. But my, how times have changed. We live in a day and time when many people in our nation, we have abdicated God from our lives. We've turned a deaf ear to the word of God, to the will of God, to the ways of God, and we are paying a heavy price. And so what Jeremiah said to the people of his day, there's a lot of application for us as we live here in America today and how blessed we are to live in this great country. So I think about the fact that, number one, they had forsaken the Lord. But then in chapter 2, verse 32, listen to what Jeremiah says. Not only had they forsaken him, they had forgotten him. And you ask the question, how in the world could these people have forgotten Almighty God? He had been so good. It might be that you are listening tonight, and you can recall the day you were married. Those of you that are ladies, you remember the wedding dress you wore. Listen to what Jeremiah said. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people, he said, have forgotten me days without number. How in the world could they have forgotten Almighty God? Could I suggest to you tonight that sadly, some of us who belong to the body of Christ, that we have forgotten who we are. Not only have we forgotten who we have forgotten whose we are. They had been blessed by Almighty God. They enjoyed a very unique relationship. He said, you are a peculiar treasure unto me. You're a special treasure. Those of us who belong to the body of Christ tonight, we are immensely blessed. We are to be a distinctive people. You remember Peter said, you're an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, whom he has called forth out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in time past were no people, but now are the people of God. And so here were people, as incredible as it may be, they had forsaken the Lord and they had forgotten the Lord. Now, by way of application, let me just spend a couple of minutes here and talk about some of the things that I think are problematic to those of us who are in the church tonight. You know, we have often been called people of the book. And I really believe that in days gone by, we were people that were Bible quoting, Bible toting people. We knew the book. I'm not so sure that's the case anymore. And yet I can read where Peter talked about in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Peter said, as a newborn baby, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you might grow thereby. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, you remember Peter said in the long ago, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The only way to grow is to engage in spiritual activities. We've got to spend time reading and discerning the word of Almighty God. We've got to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Paul would say to the saints in Ephesus, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so, as you think about the church tonight and the need for the church tonight to return to the old paths, isn't it the case that there is moral erosion in some sectors of the church as we speak? You think about the impact the world has had on the Church of Christ tonight. I wish it weren't the case, but the sad truth of the matter is the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Paul would tell us to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. The devil's doing everything he can to destroy those of us who belong to the body of Christ. And one of the ways that he has attacked those of us who belong to the body of Christ is morally. The world has made inroads. You remember Paul said, neither give place to the devil. In other words, don't give the devil any more real estate in your life. We've given him far too much real estate. We need to get it back. John said, love not the world, neither the things which are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, not of the Father, but is of the world. He said, the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abides forever. So you look at that passage of Scripture. By the same token, if we walk like the world, live like the world, dress like the world, talk like the world, then that tells me the world has invaded our spiritual space. And didn't Paul say in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that we are not to be conformed unto this world? In other words, we're not to allow the world to pour us into its mold, but rather we are to be transformed people. We have been translated. We have been delivered out of the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So, morally speaking, and let me just share this very quickly. That also encompasses the home. Some have said in days gone by, I believe it to be the case, as the home goes, so goes the nation. The reason our nation is in trouble is because the home is in trouble. The home is the backbone of society. Could I kindly say that in America, the backbone has been broken? In many congregations, the backbone has been broken. We've got fathers today who are not the spiritual leaders that they ought to be. And yet Paul said that we are to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We need mamas and daddies today who will stand four square on the Word of God and strive to the best of their ability to live in compliance with the will of Almighty God. Listen to what the psalmist said. Except the Lord build the house, those who labor, labor in vain. Psalm 127 at verse 1. And then doctrinally, there has been a great deal of erosion in the Lord's church. For example, there are some among us today that have fraternized and are fraternizing with the denominational world. They don't understand the distinctiveness of the Lord's church. When we talk about the Church of Christ, please understand the Church of Christ was not founded by man. Some would say Alexander and Thomas Campbell were the originators of the Lord's church. That's not the case. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul knew something about the churches of Christ in his lifetime, because in Romans chapter 16, verse 16, he said, the churches of Christ salute you. The church is distinctive. The church is pre-denominational. It is non-denominational. As a matter of fact, the church is the blood-bought body of Christ. As I said a minute ago, it was built by the Lord, bought by the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. When we talk about the Church of Christ, all we're saying it is the church that belongs to Christ. So some, sadly, have given up their distinctiveness in the body of Christ. And then there are those that have introduced instrumental music into the worship service. 3 or 4 years ago, Brother Garland Elkins and I had the opportunity to do a television program together, and we had done a couple of programs together in days gone by. And we spent some time and talked about a congregation in the Nashville area, a large congregation that introduced the instrument into one of their services. Listen, the Bible tells us to sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. The instrument that's to be plucked or played is not a piano, not an organ, but rather the human heart. We are to sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. That's what Paul said, Colossians 3, verse 16, Ephesians 5, verse 19. There is no place in the Lord's church for instruments of music. God requires us to sing. And then there are those that are using women in a more expanded role. Some women today are serving as preachers and teachers. They're teaching in mixed assemblies. And yet Paul said, and Paul, by the way, wrote the commandments of the Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. So what he said is binding today. 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul said, I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man. It's not about ability, it's about authority. Women have the right and they have a place to teach, but they're not to teach in mixed assemblies. They don't serve as elders or deacons in the Lord's church. You can read about the qualifications for those who serve in those capacities in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. And then there are those who fail to preach and teach the whole counsel of God. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, when he stood before the elders of the church from Ephesus while he was in Miletus, he said, I'm free from the blood of all men. I've not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Brother Marshall Keeble, a great evangelist. Some have said Brother Keeble was responsible for baptizing some 30,000 to 50,000 souls and establishing some 325 congregations around the world. Brother Keeble would oftentimes go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 when Paul said, preach the word in season, out of season. Brother Keeble said that means you preach it when people like it and when they don't like it. That means you preach the tough subjects. And sometimes there are things that are tough. Friday night, Brother Don Blackwell is going to be talking about hell. There are a lot of other subjects that we would rather preach and teach about. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord had more to say about the subject of hell than any other person in the New Testament. And so we ought to be teaching and preaching about the subject of hell. And then there are those that have compromised what the Bible teaches regarding the terms of admission into the church. Jesus said in the long ago, he that believeth, number one, and is baptized, number two, shall be saved, number three. Jesus had all authority, Matthew 28:18, and God the Father said we're to hear him, Matthew 17:5. So what the Lord said is true, it's still true. Peter on Pentecost Day, Peter and the other apostles had been given the keys of the kingdom. On Pentecost Day, they took those keys, opened the doors into the kingdom. The terms of admission spelled out, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. In other words, so that your sins might be forgiven or remitted. That's how God puts people in the church. And then in verse 47, the Bible says, the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Acts 2 at verse 47. And then finally, thirdly, let's talk about the road back to God. Listen again to what Jeremiah the prophet said in the long ago. Jeremiah was pleading to people that had become insensitive. As a matter of fact, in verse 15, Jeremiah sums up the spiritual condition of his people. Were they ashamed when they committed these abominations? He said, nay, they were not at all ashamed. And then listen to what he said. Neither could they blush. When's the last time you saw somebody blush? Is it possible that we have seen so much and heard so much from the world that it just rolls off of our backs like water off the back of a duck? I mean, we have become, in many respects, desensitized as they had in their day. And so in then verse 16, Jeremiah makes a plea to the children of God. Stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk therein. I want to suggest to you, God's way is a good way. There are a lot of folks that look at Scripture today, and they talk about how God said you can't do this, you can't do that. They have this idea that God intends to hurt us by preventing us from doing certain things. The fact of the matter is, God doesn't want to hurt us. He wants to help us. Scripture is intended to be a blessing to our lives. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, or rather 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable. If people could only understand, if they could only come to grips with the fact God intends his word to be a blessing, to profit our lives. And what Jeremiah is saying here is, if you go back to the old paths, you'll find out you're going to be walking in a good way. God's ways are good ways. Not only are God's ways good ways, but they are gracious ways. You think about the children of Israel. God loved them, pleaded with them, wanted them to return to him. Would he have done that had he not loved them? Well, the answer is obviously no. God is a gracious and loving God. You remember what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4? But God, who is rich in mercy, then Jeremiah said, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. And here's the assurance. Then you will find rest for your souls. Didn't Jesus say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden? The promise being, I will give you rest. Sin is a terrible taskmaster. And yet, here's what Jesus said. If the Son makes you're free indeed. Jesus also said in John chapter 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, listen, if you will, to what the people said to Jeremiah. He's pleading with them to come back to the old paths, and here's what they said. We will not walk in it. They were stubborn, rebellious, and they were headed for captivity. My prayer tonight is that if your life is not where it ought to be, if you've never been baptized into Christ, that you will come in simple trusting faith, believing Jesus to be the Son of God, repenting of every sin as Peter commanded in Acts 2, verse 38, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, Acts 8, verse 37, be baptized so your sins can be washed away, Acts 22, verse 16. Let God put you in the church. I can promise you this, if you'll do that, you'll find rest for your soul. If you are listening tonight and you're not faithful to God, the road to forgiveness begins with humility, recognizing where you are, admitting where you are in life. And here's what John said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, James said, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another. I would encourage you tonight, please consider carefully the old paths. If you're not walking according to the old paths, the time to go back and begin walking in those old paths is right now. God bless you and thank you.
And thank you, Brother Mike. We appreciate you so very much. And to our listening audience tonight, he's done exactly what we wanted him to do, and that is to remind all of us there is an old, old way that God has established, and we must remain in it. And then, so that old path today, even for those of us in the Church of Christ, we must remain faithful to the Scripture, to what God has said. That is the old message that we cannot leave from. And then to those who are visiting with us tonight that are not members of Church of Christ, we hope you listen carefully, because we believe that the Bible has the answers to saving your soul. You want to obey the gospel and be a part of the church you can read about in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. If you have questions for us, we encourage you to go to Nationwide Gospel Call at yahoo.com. That's our email address, nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Send us an email if you desire a Bible class, if you desire to be baptized. We'll help you with all those arrangements, or just get back with the person who put you on the call, and they too can get in touch with us to make sure we'll make those arrangements for you. If you say, well, I didn't understand everything that was said tonight, the recording will be on our website. You can go to our website at hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net, and there you can find the recorded messages. Now, we want everyone tonight to understand that we are battling with a hurricane and a tropical storm coming into the Houston area, and we may be experiencing some problem with our connections in the next few days. So we're asking everyone to please pray that we don't have any problem with our connections. So you know how it is when you have bad weather, we could have also bad connections and things of that nature that could come with that. So we're asking everyone to pray for us. If you're concerned about the recording tonight, we'll have a nice recording. All the things will be cleaned up tonight. It'll be on our website, and you'll be able to go back. And we encourage you, you don't expect to get everything that he said just by listening one time. Go back and listen, take notes with the recorded message. You get so much more out of it by going back and listening to it again. And so we want to thank everyone. We want to especially thank those who have sent us donation unsolicited. We have not solicited donations, but people are sending us donations. If you desire to send us donations, we appreciate that. We will definitely use it for the Nationwide Gospel Meeting. As I said, we extended it to September, and we may even go further even through the year based on the kind of response we're getting. So many people are just encouraging us to continue this gospel meeting here. So you want to donate to the call, just go to our website at hollandheightscoc.net, hollandheightscoc.net, and it is not required, it's not solicited, but if you just want to do it because you want to be a part of a great work, we do appreciate you, and we know it was Jesus who said, it's more blessed to give than receive. And so to our visitors, please continue to join us each night from 9 to 9:30. We thank you for allowing us to come into your home for 30 minutes with a sound preacher. If you want to hear the word every night, dial in and listen to our call. And take notes, and we want you to be saved. We want you to become a member. That's our goal. We want you to be saved, to become a member of the Church of Christ. Amen. That's right, because we believe that the Bible has given us all the right information that we need to save our souls. Unfortunately, many are dying because of the COVID, but please pay attention to what you got to do before you die. Tomorrow night, Brother Tim Ellerby from Round Rock will talk to you tomorrow night about dying in your sins. Don't miss that one. You need to hear this message. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you for loving us and sending your Son, and we thank him for loving us and showing the greatest love that no man has ever shown, and that is that he laid down his life for us as his friend. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Bible that we have. We can read it. And we thank you for being like Brother Mike Hickson and others, all the brothers who preached on our program. We thank you for them and their commitment to the cause, to your cause, to the cause of Christ, your Son, to his church, to the teachings of your Son in the New Testament that is intended for people to become Christians.
And we pray for our friends and family and loved ones who are on the call tonight who are not members of the Church of Christ, that they understand what we're doing is speaking the truth in love, because we want to go to heaven and we want as many to go as possible. Thank you, Father, for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, host minister of the Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. It is my prayer that you have a good night's rest. Good night.